I'm Amy.
I'm Wendell.
And I'm Patrick.
And
this is
Yes
But Why
Podcast. I knew what you're
saying. If it was two dudes,
yeah,
That wouldn't even be something I had to think about. I don't even have to be a part of that. All I have to do is scoot away from it and not be a fight. Like,
but isn't it funny if it were two ladies? Maybe not you, but many men would feel like they needed to intervene.
Mm-mm.
Hold on, let me take care of this.
No, if it's two lady strangers getting into a fight, I will get within viewing distance. Because girls fight way more intensely than dudes fight. Like, and they won't let each other get away kind of mood. You know, like, dudes try to keep distance, and then, like, the first one down, and then there's, like, a respect on the grounds. Like girls start fighting in a way where, like, they become one.
Well, they're out for blood.
Like, they, like, wrap their fingers into each other's hair, and it's, and, like, dig their nails in, and it's a fucking, like, I don't know, it's a kamikaze attack a lot of the time.
You've never seen a, like, punch, bite?
Like a wham! It's like a, well, that's the hair thing, is, like, they just grab the hair and then just pull the head down, and it's so unfair.
Oh, I've seen ladies that were like MMA ladies get into fights. I mean, I guess that's a professional situation. But.
Like, but then it's like, and it's such a much, it's so much more drawn out. Like, dudes, really, nobody can be knocked out in that scenario where two people, like two women are like basically bound by their hair and hands and fingers, like.
But isn't that interesting that if the two people getting into a fight were the same gender, it would seem less of a big deal than if they were different genders? I wonder why that is.
What if I turned around and like it was a girlfriend just beating the shit out of her boyfriend?
That's the thing.
For being like lippy.
Yeah.
I would breathe a sigh of relief, said me too, and then just like got back to my day. I don't know.
You would have let that go?
Well, it's like, I don't know. I feel like that guy knew what he was signing up for.
No, come on. People can be abusive. It's like, so we were talking about earlier, the reason why there aren't that many female serial killers on record is because people don't give women the credit. You know what they've done? Probably murdered lots of people. And you just haven't found
it. That's the thing, is like, women have to be much better at being serial killers and murderers.
No, they don't. No one suspects us.
Well, we don't ever talk about them.
It's like old people stealing. No one notices them.
We talk about male serial killers, like all of these legendary dudes. These are all the dudes who got fucking caught. Like, these are all, yeah, they're the greatest failures in serial killing because we busted their ass.
Isn't it funny that you refer to them as legendary?
Well,
you know what I mean?
I mean, like...
Like, oh man, this guy, he murdered a bunch of people.
Put up some numbers. There's podcasts just based around the concept of being infatuated with serial killers.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's a lot less, like, notorious female serial killers. And I think that's just because they don't fucking get caught as much. I think, like, they're just better at it. They're better at murdering and then drifting away into another life.
Well, some are, but some are just never seen. It's like scientists back in the day, or like the women that helped at NASA that never got the credit. Like, they just were like, whatever.
It's like crimes of passion.
Like, they would have been like, she was so hysterical. Like, and she just murdered a bunch of people.
I wouldn't be surprised if every woman has murdered one person on the planet.
What do you mean?
In the sense of like, they did. Nobody thought it was them because dudes are like, well, it must have been a guy because of the brutal lashing or whatever. And then, like, the only one here was this tiny little, maid. Couldn't have been her. Anyways, and then they were just like, holy shit. And then they just stopped. They stopped killing. They're just like, they killed once. They should have gotten busted. They didn't. And then they went on with their lives, realizing that was their one outburst.
Oh, it was like, it's like not getting in trouble in that one moment, like, sort of made it so that they had, like, quenched the thirst.
Yeah, because men have just been wearing that right out loud for such a long time, you know?
What do you mean?
Like, we only very recently gave up the right to, like, murder of our own accord, on our own, like, of our own judgment, you know? Like, and, like, pretty much the president agreed with that for a long time. You know, like, up until, like, the Industrial Revolution, it was just like, you killed somebody because they killed your paw. And then that held up in a court of law. You know, like...
I don't know that.
Well, I mean, like, at some point, it was just okay to deal with the law in your own hands, and that meant killing the person that killed the person you liked. And that wasn't really in the scope of civilization. Wasn't that long ago where we just couldn't find a place for, like, personal murder in the laws anymore. Like, we just couldn't find a way to wiggle it in and make it work. I mean, on your property, like, you can stand your own ground, and you can, like, if someone's on your property and you don't want them to be and they won't leave, you can shoot them and kill them in most states and, like, be all right. I mean, most other states. And be,
not
like,
all right,
okay.
But you can certainly...
I mean, it's going to be a hassle.
You're going to be in court, for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean...
That there's an existing precedent to use as an argument.
Well, I know, but you're going to be in court for getting in a fender bender, too. And you didn't get to kill the asshole that fucking bumped into you. You know, like, what I mean? Like, going to court is, like, one of those things where it's, like, all of this is, like, the bureaucracy around the fact that I got to kill somebody. I found the one loophole that I was allowed to kill somebody. Like, well, he was on his damn land. I don't know. He didn't want him there? Nope.
Nobody saw it? Well, I mean, there's a difference between, you know, shooting somebody when they're, you know, intruding into your home or attacking you versus, you know, just doing it for funsies.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's, I mean, I'm sure they have many methods to discern whether or not you were just like, hey, you want to come hang out?
I like how the end of that episode spiraled us into a discussion of murder.
Well, it's like the lack of humanity in these people, say for Joey, is to, like, watch a mugging happen. I've never seen a mugging happen. I would like to think that if I saw it from far enough away... See, that's a different kind of preparation. The fact that, like, in the scenario I was talking about earlier, I was, like, 5 feet away from it, so, like, I was gonna have to be involved if it was, like, if that's what was happening... Mm-hmm. Like, there's no way for me to not be in that situation.
I mean, I'm not going to lie, and I don't know what sort of, like, ist this is going to make me, but, like, if I were in that same situation, and if you and I were strangers, and there was this couple, and both of us were there, I would, and that happened, like, he hit her, I would immediately defer to you to make it happen. To defend this person.
Okay.
And it's ridiculous because I personally...
If we were in the improv community and this was going on and this happened, like we were at an improv party, I would feel very confident that I might be able to handle that situation.
Well, I mean, in a party where you know the people, it's a lot easier to break up a fight or to yell or to, like, create a moral standard because if that person is in your group of friends, you've sort of established a world mindset that you and your friends have of things that are okay and not okay. And I mean, that your personal beliefs could differ, but within, you know what the rules are in this small society of your friends.
Yeah.
It'd be a lot easier to break up that kind of fight.
If we were in New Orleans and you were not, like, walking around, like, trying to find somewhere to eat at night, and we saw something like that, I know you would defer to me to do something, and that's the only reason I would do something right then, especially in New Orleans, especially in a place that I just feel like needs to sort its own shit out, and we just need to, like, look away while it does. Like, that is none of our business.
That's, yeah, well, it's a tough city. People love it so much, but it is broken down, and so I always have a hard time with it, like, I appreciate that everybody loves the charm of, like, broken steps and, like, you know, everything's kind of in disarray, but that's just not my style. So I like it. I like going there and visiting for a short period of time. But, I mean, you're right. The city itself is a bit more dangerous than I would imagine, like, Austin is. Like, I walk around downtown Austin by myself very late at night, and I don't even blink an eye.
Yeah. I walk around, I'll walk to the 7-Eleven on Old Tour from my place at, like, 4 in the morning sometimes, just because, like, I'll wake up and just be like, I want sugar, because I think the diabetes is coming. but, yeah, I just, like, And I will just put on regular clothes. Like, I won't walk out like this at 4 o'clock in the morning.
You're not going to wear your shark shirt?
Well, this just sounds...
That's a nice shirt.
I know, but it's like... This just says at 4 o'clock in the morning, like, my limo broke down on the way to the One Direction really concert.
Think... Oh, I see. On the
For
way
me to be like that at 4 in the morning? Yeah, so, like, I put on some of my old home, like, my hometown clothes. Like, my...
You think your University of South Carolina is going to sell better?
Well, no, I just mean, like... When I lived in my old hometown, I dressed like poor people because everybody was poor around me and I didn't want to stand out. Now I'm flashier out here in Austin because people have a sense of style and decor and stuff. And like I tried, I made an effort to like try to express myself and wear weird shit in high school and middle school. And that was one of the worst mistakes I ever made in my life. Like as far as people just not knowing what the fuck was wrong with me and just like saying I don't know. That's the tipping point. I was gay in my hometown for like doing that. And that's fine. It's fine.
It's fine to you. Super and you also fine. Left.
Well, yeah, it was super fine and also like it was like I was friends with one of the gay dudes that you know, that hadn't come out and nobody was saying anything to and that was what was frustrating. And I was just like, but look at his collar is ironed, for Christ's sake. Look at the crisp pleats on those pants.
No, they were excited. They were like, that's how everybody's pants should be.
Yeah, I'm just a deadhead without a fucking preference to a message. I don't know. I was protesting. I was so dumb in high school. I didn't want to match, so I made a huge effort not to. And that told everybody everything they needed to know about me.
So when you go out late at night to the 7-Eleven in your poor people clothes.
It's a unitard.
unitard, that's nice.
I go ninja gear, like a...
Well, it's got a hood?
Oh. Yeah, full mask.
It's like a onesie, like the girls wear.
Yeah, that's actually what it is. It's I get it at Walmart, and it's really just Chewbacca. I just run as Chewbacca. I just wear muted colors. Like I have a bunch of just raggedy shorts and flannel that is much more like, alright, yeah, he's not doing well. I probably shouldn't bother him. It's just like, he might be doing okay enough to afford flannel, but like, that's everyone's right, and I shouldn't try to take that from him, you know?
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
flannel is... He's at least a construction worker, this man. You know? Wearing flannel.
Have you found the neighborhood you moved to more dangerous than the other neighborhoods you've lived in Austin?
Nope. Not at all.
People talk about that neighborhood like it's real bad, but I never had any bad experiences.
Yeah, no, I mean, my old hometown, like, isn't really... I mean, it's dangerous in a, like... in a soap opera kind of personal sort of way. You know, like, you can create your own trouble there, I guess. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, it's... There's not, like, an overarching sense of danger unless you are doing meth.
Sure.
Like, you make choices to become a part of the danger. Outside of that, South Carolina is really good at segregating, you know, the quiet folk from the rowdy folk.
Oh, I thought you meant the other segregation.
That's kind of what I meant, too.
Oh.
I was putting it in more polite terms.
Oh, goodness.
I know, I mean, I mean that in, like, just meth heads and, like, the trash. Like, there's a fucking side of the tracks to be on in my hometown. And one side is just quieter about the meth than the other.
Well, it's like when I lived in Dallas, I lived in this section of town that was, like, just... across the street from the richest houses in all of Dallas. Like, the one section where, like, the fucking Bushes live.
That's what Mexico City's pushing up.
Yeah.
Is
yeah,
this
that,
one part of
that
Dallas.
That part of that Dallas.
So the Bushes have to look over. Okay.
Well, that part of town is, you know, right behind, it's a big neighborhood, but it's just all these humongous houses. And then there's this street, and then on the other side of the street, it's like a major, you know, four-lane road, two either way. On the other side, it's all rows and rows of tiny houses. Two-bedroom tops, all little squares, perfectly aligned for rows and rows and rows. And I'm always like, this is the servant quarters, and that's where the, you know, the rich people live over there, and this is where all the people that work for them live.
Yeah.
And when I lived there, people would always act like it was a bad part of town. And I was like, in what way is this a bad part of town? This is the best part of town.
Was there, like, an old mill in your town that had been shut down, or, like...
No, this isn't my town. This is Dallas.
Okay.
I lived in Dallas. This is after college, when I lived in Dallas.
Ah, yes, the old Dallas mill. I remember when that went down. That was hard for...
No, but weirdly, my Dallas college had an apartment complex called Old Mill directly across from it.
Well, I'm sure at one point in the history of Dallas...
There was an old mill.
Yeah, yeah. And then all the people that weren't a part of the bullshit just drew a line. And they were like, we're going to put a railroad here and you guys stay over there with that.
There's no railroad, though. It was just big houses and small houses. But the point I was making is that people were always talking as if it was more dangerous on one side of the street than the other. And they would always say things like, well, there's a lot of drugs over there. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Do rich people not do drugs? Is that what you think? Are you telling me that rich people aren't also smoking pot and doing cocaine and taking pills and doing meth and doing heroin? Yeah, they are. In fact, a lot of those things are expensive. You have to be rich to do some of those drugs.
I think you just mean it's easier to find over there. Like, I don't have to, I don't have to know somebody's agent or, like, you know, find a cool doctor. It's just, that guy, like, I can literally talk to that guy. And that's where the drugs are.
Somebody's doctor.
But I would have to go talk to that guy. That's like the other, is like, yeah, drugs are over there. And that's where they'll stay until you go ask for them.
Do you think all the really annoying drug dealers in the world will eventually just be working at like a cannabis store?
I would like to think so, but I would also like to think that there will be this like renegade like squad of like pot dealers that like grow something that the US can't get its hands on. And that'd be a fun,
oh, you
like,
mean like people that have their own farms?
Possibly,
that's
but they're
possible,
like mobile,
but...
or like they grow it in space. I don't know. It could have a sci-fi
flair
to it.
Grow in space. Elon Musk,
thing.
Pay attention.
Like it's a dystopian thing, like in the future when everything, mm-hmm. you know, is all dispensarized, and there's just like these like the Duke boys of like just wanting to do it the wrong way, Marijuana Brothers or something.
Just the Marijuana Brothers.
Growing some kind of like space strain that just the U.S. government just cannot reverse engineer and just can't figure out.
Hmm. I watched an independent film one time that was about like a vestige of drug dealer. What?
Wait, what did you watch the film about?
It was a movie about like a drug dealer in like a pot dealer, a girl who was a pot dealer in LA. And when it became much easier to do and there were dispensaries everywhere, she like lost her business, and it's like a movie about a small business failing, but the small business failing is this girl who's a pot dealer when all of a sudden all the like stores opened up around her. And it was such an interesting story to watch this like being told in such a way about, you know,
there's still going to be a market because potheads are lazy, and if you deliver there will always be a market for like secondhand drug dealers.
Sure.
I mean, but dispensaries deliver too.
But also, not to mention the fact that, like, once it's fully legal, I mean, Favor will do it, right?
Well, like, also, if it gets to
if it's
the,
not
like,
a doctor thing, if it's
LA,
a recreational thing.
If you just found a dude that's like, hey, what's up? I sell $30 eights. And I'm like, what are you going to ask for his fucking, like, tax ID? Or, like, I mean, it. Everybody can just hand everybody pot in California, right? That's just how it is. Like, we don't...
I don't know. I bet it's taxed. Like,
I mean,
I bet it's sales tax plus something else.
If somebody closes the door and hands me the thing, then, like, who's to say where that... Like, where that joint came from that I'm walking around, you know?
I don't understand. It
well, I'm just saying, like...
clear where it came from.
Well, I'm just saying that, like, being a drug dealer...
Mm-hmm.
And not being a part of a dispensary is kind of like being a moonshiner, I think, in California.
Yeah.
But, like, the cops don't give a shit. Because, like...
Why don't the cops give a shit?
because that's like nickel and dime, like pot dealers that are selling in spite of the system.
Different places will have different ways of dealing with it, the same way that people deal with pot in their own way here.
Yeah.
Like the guy who used to be the chief of police here moved to Houston and then, like, decriminalized weed there.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, went and started a pot farm in California.
No. Like, he was very, while he was the chief of police here, he was very lenient on pot crimes here. And he suggested to everybody that they should do that because it was, like, just a waste of time to, like, focus on it. Like you were saying. But he's just one guy who made that decision. When he left, there was a new chief of police. I don't know what the chief of police's current, like, deal with it is. Given the fact that there's been news all over that, like, it could be legal in about a minute, I doubt they're really paying attention to it. But, at the same time, they could have, and lots of other places did. You know, like, when I was growing up, it was a really big deal, and you always have to be really, like, shady about it. But now it's fucking recreational legal in Massachusetts.
Yeah, but in Houston, it's like, they should decriminalize pot along with, like, wild game hunting. I feel like there's a lot of things they should decriminalize just so they can, like, shave off the list of things.
Well, I think he is working on stuff because there were a lot of people that were just, like, caught in the system for these, like, tiny weed charges. And he was like, get rid of these people from this list.
Super
They're
heroin
not
is coming.
For us to pay attention to when we have all these other things. It's like, this is a major city. Can we focus on violence?
Yeah.
Could we? Okay, if this guy who's selling drugs, if he's selling pot and he's also beating people up about it, okay.
The city is 2 hours long. If more people chilled out, that would help us. Can we all just acknowledge the fact
there's so many people here
that you can't, like, escape this city by driving an hour away from it?
Keep driving. You're still here.
The city chases you. Do you understand how stressful that is? Let people fucking smoke weed. Like, it's super crack.
So he's there now.
It's super crack we gotta work on.
Yeah, there's shit like that for sure. I mean,
no,
it's
like,
a big city. There's all sorts of insane things.
Like, it's like the variants of drugs that are already, like, popular here coming over from Europe. And it's like, yeah, it's like crack, except, like, your skull caves in a little bit after you do it for, like, 2 years.
Well, how quickly... they really need to advance the marijuana laws after the multiple cities filled with people smoking K2, which is a marijuana substitute that they're trying to smoke so that they don't get arrested and they're fucking dying.
It's made from
because
the marshmallow
plant. Shit is disgusting and insane and crazy.
Yeah. It's weird because I smoked that a lot when I was younger. Not a lot, but like a lot.
When you were younger, it's been around that long.
Yeah. Like, when I say a lot, I mean a lot in the sense of I'm scared that I smoked any. Like, there was a phase.
I've smoked it too, and I was now seeing it on the news. I was like, fuck, I'm glad I only did that once or twice.
Yeah, there was like a phase where I was either trying to pass a drug test or like I had this friend that like worked at a head shop for a little bit and then quit, but like stole a bunch of shit. So he had like a whole bunch he just stuffed a trash bag full of this like
boxes.
K2 and spice and all this dumb shit. And
yeah, they used to call it spice now.
It's
K2.
Yeah, he'd sell it to me. And that shit was so uncomfortable. Like, it was so dumb. It's a marshmallow plant is where what it's harvested from.
Yeah?
Yeah, because the marshmallow is derived from a plant. That was a plant before it was a snack.
No, it's just called the marshmallow plant.
Well, there's a marshmallow plant. Do you think it worked backwards? Do you think they found... Okay, they decide... They figured out they could make marshmallows.
I'm not going to Google it right now because that's not what we do.
Well,
but I also thought what you were saying.
Because I've never
when
thought about
I heard
this.
About it. And then I looked it up. And no, it's just called the marshmallow plant. It doesn't even look like a marshmallow. It's not about that. It's just what they call
and
it.
And then we made marshmallows. It's spelled differently, right? Isn't it like marshmallow with an E? Or is it... No. And the snack we eat is with an A, right? Mallow as opposed to mellow.
I don't think there's a difference in the spelling.
So wait a minute. So they just...
It's not a plant, though. Marshmallow is essentially just gelatin, isn't it? And sugar. And
no,
gelatin is horse hooves.
Okay, but, like, isn't it flavored? Or isn't there something
sugar.
That, like, the... I know
Does that plant have nothing to do with the snack?
I don't think so, no. I'm dying to Google it, but I'm not gonna.
That's some stoner... That's some shit that Nixon put out there to make stoner heads explode a long time ago.
You know what's funny? Is that I keep thinking of, like, past presidents compared to now, and I always think of Nixon as a comparison to, like, how bad it could get. And I was like, oh, Nixon, you just became an angel. You just became totally one of those innocuous men of history where even though you did horrific things at this point, we're like, yeah, but you know, whatever. He's not as bad as this guy.
Well, you had
it's like Jefferson. It's like when fucking people talk about Jefferson, and at this point it's gone far enough. I mean, we know such horrible things this man did, and yet people are kind of like, eh.
Dude, it took a crack team of two reporters plus a government leak to get the word out about what Nixon was doing. Like, Trump wakes up every day and he's like, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna call the leader of North Korea a fat idiot and then take credit for them, you know, coming together. Or, you know, I'm gonna sign
Mr. Trump, thank you so much for calling me a fat idiot. I know that is the highest compliment in your language. Wouldn't it be terrible if it was just like a weird misunderstanding? Like fat idiot in Korean is like the best thing to be.
My father was a fat idiot. He died a fat idiot. I thank you so much.
No one in my family has ever called me a fat idiot. Finally, I feel like I've achieved my purpose.
You know what? What was all that fighting about? Now that I've gotten that, Oh wait, they have the bottom half of the missiles down there. That's why we got to make a partnership. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I just want to write a children's book about how, like, North Korea couldn't make a good missile because they only had the top half.
Sounds like a great children's book. Like, the last picture book. Could be the explosion. So it like pieces like the paper. You know, like when like a pop-up book when you open it, it's just like boom.
Yeah. The entire state, now the entire country of Korea becomes militaristic and destroys the world.
It's going to be great.
That was the only thing keeping the world together, was us keeping those two countries separate. Those two parts of the same country separate.
No, I think we're okay.
No, I'm sure that, like, somewhere long ago the Illuminati set it forth that should ever North and South Korea ever come together again, that would bode very poorly for the rest of the world.
I wonder if the any Korean heads of state or artists or whatever get invited to Bilderberg.
It's too much to just end like this. Like, how insane North Korea has been for so long. It needs to be...
But isn't the guy who is currently in charge the son of the one who is the craziest? He's only been in charge for a short period of time. And yeah, he's done some crazy shit, but wasn't it his dad who did the, like, really insane stuff?
I mean...
I don't actually know
I think there was, like, an escalating scale to it. I feel like there was, like...
Everything's relative at this point, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, I think
at this point, W's like a teddy bear.
Well, yeah,
we're all like, oh my god, isn't he so sweet? Remember when he told us mission accomplished? Guys, hug him.
I mean...
And, like, Bill Clinton's going the way of Bill Cosby, like, fast... And it's rough. And it's like, what's happening? And Nixon, again, like I said, is the history's biggest gaffe. Can you believe they got him with a microphone? His own microphone!
I mean, Kim Jong-il was crazy because we were all looking at him now. You know? Like,
yeah.
But
he only died a couple years ago, right? 10 years or so?
Right, but like the definition of what crazy was when his dad was running things... might have been on par with what Henry Ford was up to at the time, you know, like, for Christ's sake. Like everybody was everybody was a little more evil back then. That's kind of like the...
He's not that old. I'm talking about
Kim Jong-il was Lord Supreme Ruler of North Korea for a couple decades, right? A few decades?
Sure, I'm sure.
And I assume that's because he ate the heart of his father or something in some kind of combat. I don't know. Like, his dad probably died, and that's why...
Yeah, eating his heart, yeah.
And that could have happened when he was 13, just like his dumb little egghead son. But, like, I mean, no matter what, it's like, that is around the time the 24-hour news cycle started. Like, when we could all just be like, hey. I mean, I'm sure they did a good job of keeping the crazy locked in. before we all started talking about everything all the damn time. You know? Like,
I wonder. I think about that with us, too. Like the president tweets. He doesn't hold... There are no secrets. There's nothing.
Well,
I mean, I know that transparency was what he promised, but I didn't think he meant this much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you also can't dominate a country in, like, one kingship. I feel like there had been a whole lot of subjugation that it just built, like, that it just stamped this country down. And
yeah, I don't think people like, I mean, I'm sure some people like living in Korea, but...
I'm sure that maybe has something to do with why there was a top and bottom to that country for a while.
Yeah, I don't actually know much about it. The only reference that I have is the Korean War, which I really even don't know much about anyway.
Yeah.
I only know that it was a thing that happened that American soldiers went to, but I don't really know much about that either.
It seems like a better war to have been in than Vietnam. That's the only thing I know. Seems like, I don't know, it seems like kind of the same as Vietnam, but like people were just more committed to, like,
I think they called it a war, whereas Vietnam was a police action.
Oh, it was a police action.
It was never officially like it was a war, but it
was that not like retcon though? Was that not like we're at war with Vietnam? Oh yeah, nobody can win this war. We can especially. That was more of a
stuffer. Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah.
They're like, just kidding.
That was a police action. Like,
we didn't win
any police action.
Didn't do well that one.
No, we did not.
We just ruined a bunch of people's lives and then kind of peaced.
We went in there.
But that's kind of been our MO for the past couple of years, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we ruined, Iraq and Afghanistan.
Are we the reason that there's a North and South Korea? Is that what it...
Maybe.
Is that what we're building through?
Well, that'd be terrible.
Like, are we the ones who are like, all right, you guys stay over here.
But Trump, like me, Trump is just like me and he has no idea. And he's, like, going there and, like, he didn't do any of his research. One hopes there's an attaché for, like... Well, not an attaché, whatever the correct word is, advisor for, like, every country that he goes to so that they kind of give him, like, you know, because there's a lot of countries, you know. He might not know the people or what the deal is or what's going on in their country. There's got to be a person who's like, okay, you're going to talk to Joe Smith, and he runs the Netherlands, and last week he came out with a law about bikes, and you need to talk to him about bikes or whatever. I don't know why that made me think of it.
Woodrow Wilson a long time ago made a pact with a demon. And the only way that the United States gets to continue to be a country is if North and South Korea stay separated. Where are you going? Come back here, Donald. Donald!
Why don't you believe us when we tell you these things?
Don't say the words! Don't say those Latin words we taught you when you came here.
Stop tweeting about how there's aliens. You're not supposed to tell them what we tell you.
You know how angry the aliens are.
They're pissed. They've taken over Detroit. We gave it to them. Detroit was voted worst city to live in some very recent magazine poll.
Was that in No Shit Weekly? No, I don't know.
Say.
To the surprise of no one, Detroit comes sliding in the bottom. You know what? That's probably not even Detroit. That's probably more hype about what Detroit is. Like, could Florida be the city? Because I would have voted the entire... No, I don't know. Like,
could Florida be the city? I'm sure that few people wrote it in.
That city put up a statue of RoboCop, for Christ's sake. Like, Detroit... That's
Detroit used to be a booming city when cars were made there.
Yeah, when we needed steel refined and
apparently we don't need those things
that's
anymore.
Pretty much
we
it.
Sent them somewhere else. Some other country does it.
Now cars are made out of like plastic and iPhones and I don't know. It's like they're like the dwarves in Lord of the Rings, Detroit. It's like they're like the dwarves that are like fading and they just need to find a mountain to go hide in. And just drink their Faygo and covet their goods or whatever. I don't know.
Detroit is like the spin-off Friends show Joey.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, like the Industrial Revolution was like the Friends run, and then I don't know. I was gonna say Motown, but like Motown was like successful. So that doesn't work.
Well, it was successful for Berry Gordy.
Yeah. It was also, yeah, run by Barry Gordy, which is kind of shitbag.
It was like, successful in that we get to put it in our ears, but not really successful for that, any of the human beings that did the work.
There's like a 15-year gap where that was fun. Yeah. For us. No, like, that was fun for us to listen to.
Yeah. And then they were like, P.S., did you know that all these people were under lifetime contract and practically enslaved by this man? Everything that they created, he owns? What do you think about that, guys?
Getting paid Gordy bucks.
Yeah. You know what? My husband bought an album, and it's funny because he listens to it for this reason, but whenever I listen to it, I'm like, eh. All the artists, the Motown artists, did, like, a... tour, and they record, live recorded or newly recorded their own songs if they record it with something new about it, a different version or something like that, they can own the rights to it. So the version of their song that they have, the performance version that you can listen to, is what they get money for. Whereas
is Barry Gordy alive?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I just imagine, I don't know, like a green beam shooting up out of his gravesite.
You know what, though? I mean, okay, it seems ridiculous now, but it was like we were talking about where as we move forward in history, things change and the way we look at things change. And we always view it from the world that we're in right now, and we judge all these things in the past. And I'm not saying it wasn't bad for him to steal it, but maybe at the time there was no precedent for dividing up this thing. And so while it could have occurred to him, hey, I'll share the profits, he didn't, because other record companies didn't as well. I mean, does the Presley family own all the songs that he wrote? How did that work? Like, because that was right around, not around the same time exactly, a little bit before, but like, did somebody take advantage of him that same way? You know, who did the recording? Like, I think honestly, he did the recording at the record, what was it, Sun Records, which was the record, the radio station in
Elvis
this town.
Presley,
right?
Ate all his music before he died. He felt the end coming. He was like, I'm taking this with me.
Somebody owns it. I bet you. I don't know if they still, if the Presley still own it.
I mean, like,
I mean, they got money.
Oh, man, we used to talk about his daughter. Remember, like, his daughter was like a relevant celebrity?
Lisa Marie, yeah.
For like the weirdest shit all over the place. Or not the weirdest shit, but, like,
well, she was regular for a little while. She was only unusual when she married Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Because everyone was so sure that Michael Jackson was some sort of like gay child molester that, like, they couldn't imagine that a woman could have a relationship with him. Though he was married multiple times and has 3 children who are current adults.
That could have been our shot at, like, Jay-Z and Beyonce before Jay-Z and Beyonce. So this power couple you're trying to, like, push together, because I think, like, she would have had the rights to things. She wasn't talented, really, I don't think. Right?
She did a couple of movies.
Okay, like, not musically, though? She wasn't talented?
I don't think she did music, no.
Okay, well, literally...
But Priscilla didn't do music, either.
Michael Jackson was Jay-Z and Beyonce as one person, so whoever you put him with could share the responsibility.
Well, let's be honest. Actually, he's not Jay-Z and Beyonce. I love Michael Jackson, but let's be honest, he's Kanye and Kim. Kanye's album is wonderful. When you listen to it, everyone loves it. But then when he speaks, everyone goes, oh God, why? But what's happening? And every time Kim does something, people are either like, God, she's amazing, or Jesus, why doesn't that woman shut up? Which is a lot of what happened with Michael Jackson, because people were like, oh, isn't he great? Listen to his album. God, it's so amazing. And then they'd do an interview and he'd be like, yeah, we'll invite all the kids to Neverland Ranch. And they'd be like, oh, he's going to touch them all. And it was like, no, he just wants to hang out, man.
Record sales did not drop at all. Like that's the thing, though, is like, we had questions, sure, but to insinuate that he is part Kim Kardashian means that there was any part of him that didn't have some talent, like, jammed into it.
Oh, damn,
like,
you're
Michael
right.
Jackson was...
Alright, I accept it.
A thousand
Michael Jackson
times
is
more
Jay-Z
talented
and Beyonce
than Kanye and anybody you would put together, much less somebody who is just
not talented at all like Kim Kardashian.
Okay, but Michael Jackson wasn't like a business, didn't have like business acumen. Other people were taking care of that for him.
He was actually...
Jay-Z is a major business, like he's a businessman.
That's my point.
He's not just a rapper, he does like a lot of other things.
Michael Jackson seemingly was trying to destroy his own reputation with every, with like every... public thing he did, buying the elephant man's bones.
Do you think he did that on purpose? Developing...
No. No, like, that's the thing is, but he was not making any decisions based off of, how do I keep my brand on top?
Yeah, you're right.
Michael Jackson...
There was a thing like that, though.
...was reliving a childhood that he never got. That's, yeah. That's what his billions of dollars went to. And then, when he had time, he entertained the world. He would just be like, all right, hold on, and like, walk into a recording studio... sing all the instrumentals and sing the entire like album and then just be like, alright, so you play this the way I sang it and then I'll sing this. Like, he would just go and just...
Is that real?
Yeah, yeah. He would sing his own instrumental parts and just play it for the people that were supposed to play the instruments. because he was fucking pitch perfect. And he's like, no, I'm gonna do this shit. And it would be amazing. And then we would all be like, cool, go fucking do your thing again for a year. Whatever the fuck it is. Whatever the fuck it is. Stop. You know, no questions. Stop being as weird. Like, whatever you're doing, Hank, go get a bowling league. I don't know. Because the thing is...
End
like,
of the day, though, all the lawsuits came up with nothing.
I think the law... I think, like, the line is drawn. I've never heard somebody just, like, straight up say, like, nah, I think he straight up did it. Like, I've heard people say that and then be like... But, you know, Thriller was...
He's the last person we forgive.
I hear more and more people just go like, I don't know, man, I read like the, you know, the undisclosed files or whatever. I read all 600 pages of the dossier and, you know, some of the things don't add up. Like, I have a friend that like literally read the entire, like, I don't know, the manuscript from the court trial and like every deposition and every, like... witness, what do you call that? Not an interview, like...
It's a deposition.
Okay, yeah. Everything that every kid said, in context to, like, the situation. And, like, this guy read all these, and my question is why. He read all these, like, 2 years ago. Like, it's done. That's like looking up who killed John Benet Ramsey, I think. It sucks. Whatever sucked, whatever happened, I don't know.
Is this friend of yours a documentarian?
Nope, he's just he's a guy that just...
Likes reading,
likes, I guess, like,
it sounds like reading that would be like a book of Law and Order.
I mean, you could just have such a moral issue, I mean, as you should... with what he was possibly accused of, to just be like, God damn it, that music's so good, I gotta find the truth.
Well, how about this? Yeah, I think you're right. That we're talking about the world's changed. The way we, like, yeah, you're right. When we were growing up, everyone was kind of like, I don't know, maybe he did, but I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Now, they would, like, root it out.
Yeah.
They would, like, have, like, cell phones on him at all times. There would be, like, footage. TMZ would be up in his grill constantly. Like, they, and then even if he didn't do it, they would dox the fuck out of him and he would be, like, beaten to shit or something.
Yeah, he was mentally unwell. Because
right now, it's a little more Wild West when it comes to, like, burn him at the stake. Like, one person says something and then all of a sudden it's burn him at the stake. Whereas, in this case, a bunch of people said stuff, it went to court, and then it was inconclusive and nothing happened. Like, he didn't get in trouble for anything. So,
and he
since
was
the world
the
is
time.
Different...
He was weird the whole time.
Being weird isn't illegal, though.
Well, I know,
that's
but
the thing.
He did nothing...
But that's what that judge who was presiding over this case had to make a decision about. Because you have to remember that when a judge makes a decision, it's not just based on... It's not just based on that particular situation. They have to consider the larger sense,
like,
of making a rule. Yeah. If they set a precedent that somebody acting weird is enough, then behavior becomes a law.
Yeah.
then the way you act in public is written out in a specific law based on this legal precedent. And that's not all right. So he can be as weird as he wants, but if they cannot provide an argument enough to prove that these things happen, then he, you know, the judge can decide, no, I'm sorry, you didn't give me a good enough argument. And that's the thing. Maybe that's why your friend read it, because the world's different now. He was listening to some Michael Jackson. Maybe somebody gave him shit about it. How can you listen to that guy? He's a kid toucher, and he defended him. And then he thought, well, I have the ability to actually know, so I will know. You know, because who's to say that your friend's favorite artist ever isn't Michael Jackson? And maybe also his favorite artist ever used to be Bill Cosby. And he was so fucking crestfallen when he had to, like, throw away his Bill Cosby albums because, like, well, that's trash now. That he was like, no, I will not throw away Thriller. I will not accept that I cannot listen to Black or White. I cannot do it. Man in the Mirror gets me through every Sunday afternoon. So he read it, and then he was like, I feel fine about continuing to be a fan of this guy.
Have you ever met anyone that said they were not a fan of Michael Jackson because he was a kid toucher?
No.
No, me either. I grew up in one of the most, not the most racist, but the most, like, outspokenly just wearing on their sleeves opinions about anybody being weird or doing anything. I never, ever, ever heard anybody say, fuck no, I won't listen to Michael Jackson.
But it was different. When you were growing up in South Carolina, it was a different world than it is right now. Right now, at this very moment, if someone presented him as a brand new artist, not a brand new artist like he's alive in this scenario that I'm setting up, but like if there's a person who's like, oh man, you know, I really liked that Bruno Mars album. And they're like, hey, you know what? I got something you dig. How about this guy, Michael Jackson? And they're like, cool, send me a link. And they like send a little iTunes link, and that person listens. Oh, I like it. And they do a little rabbit hole search for this dude, and they find all this shit. Well, they might decide it's too risky. The world that we live in, it's too risky. Like we were talking about Chris Hardwick earlier. I was crushed. I was crushed because I thought he was the goodest of guys. Yeah. I know goodest isn't a word, but it is right now. And I don't know what's going to happen to him. And I still worry about him. Even though if this girl's story has any truth in it, like if she really felt that, like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for her. That's very sad. And I don't want anyone to feel that way. But like, oh, it just killed me that this person that I held on this pedestal, you know, did that kind of thing. And it's like, I want to keep consuming whatever he puts out, but as of the moment of it, he's not put anything out.
Well,
there's no new podcast. There's no new, like,
yeah, he's like been anything. Taken off the website and everything.
Nerdist is one podcast. He's separate from them. He does ID10T now.
Yeah, okay.
It's his own company. It's him owned. So he can't be kicked off his own company, but they haven't released anything. So it's like, gosh, I wonder what's going to go on with that, how that all works. You know, the world that we live in, your behavior then and now is to be scrutinized. And then, I mean, who's to say, especially if his whole life can be ripped apart, if you were an employer, especially in show business, would you not research every person that you potentially were going to hire?
Yeah.
Back down to every single misdemeanor, everything, just in case.
But Michael Jackson, the world watched Michael Jackson grow up. We literally watched, he's one of the only celebrity figures that we watched be crazy talented from like the age of like 9. And then for some reason, breaking all the rules of child stardom, only continuing to become more talented and more successful.
Like, I don't know that he changed the rules so much as delayed the birth of the weird, awkward period. And then that was just his 30s and 40s.
I guess, but like, that was just for us to know. From inside of his own little bubble, I'm sure, like, he didn't really get what everybody was on about. Like, it was one of the, like,
yeah, I guess you're right.
He never seemed pushed to try to normalize in face of
in the face of he what could know have been what a normal huge. Is. Well, that's the thing, though, is, like, he's got people surrounding him just going, like, hey, maybe just shut up about fucking, just talk like a person. You know, like, we also watched him, and this is for the racists on this, like, in South Carolina, I always felt like this was the account, is they watched him become white. So, like, you know, like, they were like, well, you know, it's really hard to hate somebody you watched from be a child and then just nail it all the way up to this point. And then, you know, now that you're so rich that you're constructing your own, like, childhood fantasy out here in this ranch, like, I don't know. I think the world side relief when like, he wasn't convicted.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody was like, fuck, thank God. Thank God, that was going to be a lot more to talk about in my head.
Well, because you know? it was like, that was the one and only thing we had to deal with up until now, where every other day there's like, this guy beat somebody up with a baseball bat. That guy's got a second family in Minnesota. Well, that guy's been drugging people in bars for 70 years. Like, what? What's going on?
Yeah.
And that's why I was talking to you earlier about going and thinking about my past and thinking, like, okay, nothing's ever happened to me where, you know, I would think another person did something to me. I'm like, did anybody do anything bad to me? No, not really. Most of the things have been resolved. My middle school bully apologized, you know, thanks. Other relationships have been resolved, people that I had fights with, you know, that kind of thing. All the weird sex stuff was all very, like, handshaky, consensual. Like, yes, yes, absolutely, we're doing, yes, yes, I'm into this. But I think about people that I may have affected and, like, how people can misconstrue stuff and take things personally in a new and different way. I mean, I don't know.
You know who never had to think about this? The cast of Friends.
Bringing it in.
At no point, I think that's why we go back to things like Friends all the time, is because
it was nice nothing, to watch that episode with you, by the way.
Nothing in New York matters.
You're right, yeah. Outside
of the things that is going on between these six fucking assholes in this one coffee house.
Yeah, like they skip over 9/11.
Does not fucking matter. Like, just all of Times Square changing. Just the overall attitude of New York being completely different from the beginning of that show to the end of that show.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, all of that shit. New York is, as a city, had so much change in that time. And that was never once. And not for Seinfeld either, but like that was never once a part of what they were doing.
I wonder if, you know how, like, in comic books, they set them a lot of times in New York City but name it something else? They were just like, yeah, let's just call it New York City. It's fine. It doesn't have to be real-life New York City. It can be our world, New York City.
I don't know. I feel like there's several references to, like, things real-life that stuff, New Yorkers are proud of about New York and stuff. But I don't know. That... I will say that growing up, that, like, made me, that gave me a fond idea of the city. Like, and I was like, man, it just sounds, like, really cool. Like, New York always sounded really terrifying to me because there was so many people in one place. But it's like, apparently you can just find five other assholes to be assholes with. And it's
you better hope your best friend lives right across the hall.
Well, it's like, I mean, in that situation, I would make friends with whoever was across the hall. You know, like, when everybody's so densely packed in.
I actually made friends with my next-door neighbors when I lived in Harlem.
Yeah, I mean...
That was fun.
I remember when I first moved out to Clemson when I was, it was one of my first times, and I had three roommates, and... I don't know, I never do this now, but we were just like, we are getting on a first-name, or, like, first-name basis with everybody in this part of the, like, breezeway, or the walkthrough. Like, there's, like... two doors on each floor. We're just going to go over there and knock on them and be like, hey, because we're going to be loud, we're going to throw parties, we're going to be stupid, we need to, like, find out the vibe, we need to make sure people are cool.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everybody mostly was.
Or figure out who isn't and give them, like, a plate of cookies before your party.
Yeah, yeah, it was, like, mainly people that were, like, down and, like, already ready, like, had some drugs to contribute or, like, some, something to drink. And then there was, like, one family. Yeah. And that was, like, that was, they were the ones that we were just kind of, like, needing to. But same time, they had, like, way more people in their apartment than anybody should. Like,
sure.
They had several generations of people living in there. Mm-hmm. And so it was, like, one of those just, like, we'll keep it down during the week. We're going to wild out on the weekends. Find something to do with those kids. You know? Like, that's not our problem.
I don't think... I know my next door neighbor here now, but I don't usually... And I know the neighbors across the street, but I don't usually know too many neighbors. Like, I only knew vaguely a few of my apartment neighbors, but when Chris and I buy a house where we're going to stay, I'm going to meet the neighbors.
I don't like making friends with somebody who already knows where I live.
Well, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but you're going to have, that person does know where you live because they're looking at you. And so you need to meet them. And like you said, with the other people in your apartment complex, like, you need to suss out who wants to hang out and be our pals,
yeah,
and who is going to be our trouble to, yeah, us, and then who is, you know, like, because we get the neighbors, I got the, like I said, the thugs across the street here, and I don't talk to them, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they always have people outside of their house and people coming in and out, all sorts of, there's tons of people there all the time. But I don't talk to them. I talk to them, two other sets of neighbors, because they're more, it's just because we're all, they're like 20-somethings partying right there,
yeah,
in the house. Whereas every other house, myself and the two houses that I know, we're families. So it's like you kind of just
see, those
vibe
are the first people I go
thing.
Talk to. You talk,
sure,
to Uber drivers, I go find the trouble, like, in a new place. Like, I go find the people that, like, I would be possibly worried about, and I just go, like, jump into their situation, mainly because, like,
I used to do that, but not so much anymore.
Like, people in, like, people that, like, thugs, like, people that are aggressive or, like, living in, you know, that sort of lifestyle are really thrown off by somebody, like, just a straight-up beta like me just coming out and be like, hey, what's going on, guys? You guys want a Corona? You know, like, or whatever, you know?
Hey, guys!
Like, yeah, and it's like they're thrown off by, like, the confidence in that, and, like, they're disarmed. Like, normally I can get in, like, to a point where it's like, what are you guys working on? Is that an engine? That's all I got. And, you know, it's like, just, you know, hand out some beers. I can make a joke that will land somewhere once I figure out the overall temperature of the room or whatever, or the driveway. But yeah, like, those are always the first people I go. Like,
you've heard my my story about living in Harlem and having to join the gang, right?
No.
When I lived in Harlem, in 2002, and it was on 143rd and Broadway. So technically, for any New Yorkers listening, you know it's not actually Harlem, but it's easier for the story. You know what I'm saying? The neighborhood is pretty booming. There's a lot of action on the streets and stuff, and there are just people around all over. There's stores and, you know, just a lot of stuff. It's bustling. And I didn't notice that when I went into my building that there is a guy on the corner, you know, selling stuff, whatever it is. I don't know. I'm not looking. And clearly he's hiding in plain sight, so I missed him. When I moved in, we made friends with the neighbors next door because they were walking by us when we were bringing boxes in and just made conversation with us. Found out that they were from Boston, same as we were from Boston. So we said, oh, great. Any tips for living in this particular building? And they said, oh, yeah, well, you're going to have to talk to Juan because he's going to have to get you in with the gang. And I said, I'm sorry, what? And he said, yeah, you know, there's a couple of gangs in the area, and they kind of like the people who live in this building to kind of ally with them. You don't have to do anything. It's not like whatever, but this is their building.
Like, yeah.
This is their building, so you kind of just got to make friends and introduce yourself and stuff like that now that you moved in. And we're like, serious? And he's like, yeah, it's weird, but it's really fine. It's not a big deal. So they introduce us to Juan, who, of course, like, as soon as his name is mentioned, like a leprechaun, like, just appears. And he's like, oh, hello. And you're like, oh, Juan, hi. And he...
I'll be your gang emissary today.
He is. He was everybody's emissary. He was the emissary for all sorts of things. He could find you anything. Like, when you need a plumber, he found you the plumber.
See, that's the guy I'm always trying to find, is the dude that that's like, yeah, like, hey, I have 400 things I need to sell right now.
So Juan, so we tell Juan we need to connect, and so later that evening, after we had moved all our stuff in, he brings up two dudes to our apartment. One is the super in the building, okay, and then the other is the guy that was on the corner that I didn't see. And they're fine. We give them beers and we just sit and chat for a little while, and we literally mention nothing. We don't talk about gang stuff. We don't talk about anything. They don't tell us, like, you gotta wear colors. Like, there's no discussion of it at all. We just shoot the shit for about an hour, and then they take off. And they're like, nice to meet you guys. See you later. And I don't know, they were probably just sort of making sure that we were fine. We were just 20-something kids hanging around. They're fine. And also, of course, they say, by the way, we have this available if you're interested.
Yeah.
So, you know, make some customers while you're at it. I hear you. But that wasn't the point for me. The point for me was like, I guess we're, you know, I was just excited to meet a different element that I was unaware of.
He laid out our hoodies and our badges. By the door on the way out.
Yep.
Decoder rings.
Yeah, that's all I said. So I didn't think anything of it until about 2 or 3 weeks later, when I, the brazen, overconfident gal that I am, get home at like 4 a.m, and I take the subway home by myself, and then walk from the subway 5 blocks to my home. Now, I mentioned that the area was bustling, but not at night, and certainly not at 4 a.m. The only thing that is open is one fried chicken place where you have to order the fried chicken through bulletproof glass. So, you know, classy.
Bulletproof chicken.
And I am walking down the street from the subway. And as I get like 2 blocks down, all of a sudden there's a guy behind me yelling, "Hey, baby, how you doing?" And I was just like, and I don't always engage, but when I'm literally the only other person, I was just like, fine, thank you. And then he's like, yeah, that's right. So, am I going to get some white pussy tonight? And I'm real far away from him, so even though I'm responding, like, he can't really hear me. He's yelling. But I'm like, fine, thank you. I walk away. And he's like, am I going to get some white pussy tonight? And I say to myself and him, no, probably not. Doesn't seem likely.
Pretty late.
It's 4. I mean, like, yeah, what's happening right now? What sort of wooing is going to happen, you know? But anyway, he gets closer and closer, and I move to the other side of the street, and I'm walking, and I'm starting to get really nervous about what's going on. And he's getting closer to me because he's taller and bigger and walking faster. And he's like, come on, baby, come on, where are you going? And I get to the... right by the fried chicken place, and I figure if I'm gonna confront this guy, because I can hear him coming up behind me, I'm like, if I'm gonna confront this guy, I want to have witnesses, so I'm gonna turn around and tell him to leave me alone, but I want the people behind the bulletproof glass, who have nothing else to do except for stare out that window, to see me. If it goes well, great. If it doesn't, they'll at least call the cops. That's what I'm thinking in my head.
Yeah.
So I walk in down the street, and I get right in front of that spot, and I kind of, you know, shore up all of my like, okay, I'm going to do this. And I turn around, and there's a totally different dude there. And the guy is gone. There's no this, because I had turned around and looked at him and seen him, big, big dude, hat, you know, like he was a larger gentleman. He was gone. He was not anywhere on the street. He was not on right behind this guy. He was not on the other side of the street. He was not in a door. He was zero places. There was another man wearing a leather jacket, and he just said, don't worry about it. Get home safe. And I was like, thank you. And I turned around and walked away and said, I guess that's what being in a gang is like.
Yeah.
it is for me.
Normally it's a little harder to get in. Hey, I'm doing 20 questions with one. And is basically, like, I like the idea is like, that's just modern New York for you.
I like to imagine that the neighborhood I lived in was where Phoebe lives, because they always talk about how she lives uptown and far away. Yeah. And she lives with her grandmother.
It always did look like a more rundown kind of place.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked like an old actress's apartment.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, it couldn't be too far away, though, because Rachel did move in later, so it couldn't have been too crazy far away.
Is anything far away in New York? Because it seems like they get to each other just fine. Like, when they need
Not in Friends, New York.
I don't think they go...
But in the actual New York, it takes you forever to get anywhere.
Yeah, I know.
If you don't give yourself... You know how here, like, everything on the GPS says 20 minutes, but really it's 45? There, it would be faster for you to walk 27 blocks than take a subway.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's 2 hours commute just on the train because it just stops constantly.
I imagine that they're all masters of parkour and we don't get to see these transitionary scenes where they like, or they all agreed to just stay within a 5 block radius of each other to stay safe. Like at the very beginning, because it's like, they're all just right there all the fucking time.
You know, like, you mentioned earlier that even though all the other... all these other people that we're talking about are you know, suspect and doing crazy stuff, but none of the friends have. I don't know if you saw it, but David Schwimmer actually released 3 videos that he made that were about sexual harassment in the workplace. And they were like little PSAs that would show an instance, because they were trying to show that like there were different ways for it to happen. And also, there's one of them that was very microaggression, meaning like the sexual harassment that was happening wasn't direct, like, have sex with me and you'll get a promotion, but it was like constant, sort of like a constantly coming over, like, looks good, your legs are nice, all sorts of little tiny things that could be construed positively if, like, say you liked it, but if you don't, it becomes worse and worse and worse. And so it's really interesting that he, in his position both of power, as it were, like in culture, and then also, like, he put those out so that people could see those. I don't know how it affected his theater career, because I know that he mostly does theater now, but you know, it was an interesting statement to have been made at the time.
Yeah, no, I like how David Schwimmer just kind of, like, sort of stepped out of the spotlight. Now he's just doing stuff that he wants to do and stuff that is good for all of us.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like, for instance, did you see him in the OJ documentary? Or not documentary?
No, does he play Kardashian?
He does. He plays Kardashian. And, by the way, if you haven't watched that series, the OJ, like, remake that they did, it's wonderful. I mean, it is an awesome series. So he plays Kardashian.
Is it about, like, the legal team's struggle more than anything?
It's everything from... It's from the, like, 911 call all the way through to the not guilty verdict.
Because if you were alive during the OJ verdict, you knew what the fuck was... like everybody had a steadfast opinion.
And, oh, mm-hmm.
Like, going in.
I was a senior in, was I a senior in high school? Maybe I was a junior. No, I was a senior. A senior in high school when it happened. It was a big deal.
Yeah, the day it happened, I feel like everybody made up their minds, and then no matter what happened for, like, from then on out, everybody was like, I don't give a shit. He did it, or I told you I didn't do it. Yeah, whatever.
Though he probably shouldn't have written that book. But regardless, David Schwimmer played a wonderful Kardashian. Because the interesting part about the role is that there aren't that many lines. There's not a lot that he says, but he's in a ton of the scenes because he was there. And so there's these moments, these silent moments with him. And I mean, it's because of his theater background, but like he makes these silent, like, looks or things so heavy that you just, you fill in all the stuff. And that's the best. When you, when that actor can create that canvas that then I, as the watcher, can fill in everything. Yeah. I mean,
his physicality has always been top notch. I mean, like, he's the most expressive, emotive friend by far.
Oh yeah, he's the king of the pratfall.
Yeah, like, you could
flipping
watch
over
it,
stuff.
You could, like, mute an episode and still laugh at Ross.
Yeah.
Like, not as much everybody else, really. Like, Ross just, I don't know, everything's so big with him. So when he's bothered, it's, you know, like, and I don't know, it's very, yeah, vaudevillian. I think we've, like, we've talked about it several times. And it's, I like that he just showed us that he was talented. Ross is a terrible character, but, like, David Schwimmer was awesome as Ross. He could make somebody as shitty as Ross likable for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, do that for, like, 10 years, and then, you know, just fade off and go do what he wanted to do, and then entertain our children every now and then with those Madagascar movies.
Oh, yeah, I forgot he was in that. I did enjoy those. I have very recently watched 1 and 2.
Yeah, No, I have.
I actually delayed a significant portion of those children's movies until now because I knew that I would have a baby and then could watch them with them. So all of the, like, movies, like, I just watched Coco. And I'll tell you, the preview that I remember seeing when it first came out, I thought, man, this seems weird, like cultural appropriation. What's going on? Like, but I watched it, and it was beautiful and awesome, and it was, like, so, like, the story structure
was that movie makes tears fly out of my face. That last half hour of that movie, I'm not even sobbing. I'm not actively crying. I'm just tears running down my face because it's just a beautiful, it's a whole beautiful concept and everything. I will say Disney did try to buy the rights to the concept of Dia de los Muertos a few years ago. They backed off. They tried to make up for it. They did try to buy a whole holiday.
Yeah, it was rough because they did kind of large swath explain it, you know. But I feel like once we entered the world, it kind of made it make sense in a way that was comforting and nice, and also, like, the guy, like, being like, someone has to remember me. Like, that's interesting. Not just having his picture on the altar, but, like, but also, like, that he was going, like, his daughter was the last one that remembered him on Earth. Ugh. Like, so interesting.
I feel, and, like, I don't know, I love that concept of death. It's crazy that they spend an entire film in the afterlife dealing with a bunch of skeletons and nothing came off, like, morbid.
Yeah.
Or, like, death wasn't this, like, the dark tone that it normally is. Like, death is this...
Yeah, hell, about halfway through, the kid's like, nah, it's fine, I'll stay here.
Yeah.
You know that means you're dead, right?
Right, and also, like, death looks pretty poppin'.
Yeah, death looks fun.
Death looks bananas. They have crazy animals everywhere. Frida Kahlo is just wilding out.
Cool parties.
Yeah, like, and everything's, like, glowing and just stacked on top of each other, and apparently you just... can't die again unless people forget about you, which is really just something you got to maintain once a year.
You don't have to eat or poop. It's great.
Yeah, you can be shattered to pieces and come back together. You just have to be
someone
concerned.
Has to remember you.
Yeah. That's the only thing you got to worry about. You just had to have been a good, you know, worth remembering when you're alive. And yeah, no, I don't know. That's a
though that idea. Now that we're discussing it, is kind of fucked up. Like. It enhances the celebrity culture. If that's the moral of the story, that someone has to remember you, and you're like, the idea of legacy has always made me upset because I feel like, why are you fucking worried about what's happening after you're dead? Like, how about you live a good life? How about you have all the adventures you want to have, and the success that you can find is the life that you live. And then you die, and then fucking stop worrying about it. Because you're not there anymore.
Yeah, everybody else has
and
to
I mean,
be,
if,
has to be sad.
If Coco's world exists the way that it does, I see the importance of legacy. I personally am not interested in that kind of thing. You know, as we get to the end, can I ask you, because I was just thinking of my own thing, so I'm going to ask you and then I'll answer the question myself, which is, what do you think happens after we die? Like, do you think Coco's world happens? Or do you think there's heaven or hell or
what? I spent a long time, like, I spent most of my teenage years thinking about that. And then I just decided that, like, that's just as bad as being worried about it, or like being, or like living my life based around that possibility.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm more like, I don't know. I don't need to know as much these days. Mm-hmm. What happens? I'm kind of ready for it to just nothing. Like, it's literally, the options are going to be something cool or weird and exciting, no matter if, even if it's something bad that happens to, like, one person or the other, like, dependent on if you were good or bad. It's either something just insane, or I'm done. I have to finally just stop.
Yeah.
And I think that's...
Was that it the mystery that kept you up at night?
Well, it was, like, me needing to just figure out who was right. Me needing to, like, think that I needed to know what
your family very religious?
Yeah, super Baptist, and then I just kind of bounced off of that, and I was like, yeah. I just needed to know
with the religion basis, yeah. It makes sense to think of it in that particular
and to come out just being like, well, it has to be a religion. One of those has to be that has to be the thing. When, you know, it's like, it took a really long time to just realize, or it doesn't. Or you can just have your own concept of what you need to, you know, understand reality and move forward throughout the day.
That being said, in the world that we exist in that is largely godless, that wants to rid itself, I know that most of the world is not godless, but our particular society is particularly godless,
yeah.
Does not want religion to be part of it, they still beg there to be rules for them to follow. Yeah. That's what religion is. Mm-hmm. Religion is just a set of rules that you should live your life by. And they flowered it up with a bunch of weird stories, and then everybody ran with it too hard.
And that's fine in that sense, like a code of morality. That's why I can never really, like, fault religion 100%. That's why I, like, stopped being so militant. Was like, no matter what, it makes people act right.
But I don't think it does. I think it is an idea that some people need to put into their heads to make them act. Like, there's a few people that act right because somebody told them to.
Oh, yeah, and that's fine.
Really, it should be you should act right because you act right.
It should be, but we talked about that primal thing before.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it goes against human nature to not like,
rebel.
Act out or to do something negative sometimes. Like, everybody makes mistakes, so it's like, the idea
I
that...
I feel that way sometimes.
Yeah, I just don't know anybody... Oh, shit, I lost my train of thought, sorry. What were we talking about?
Let me tell you what I think about the end of life.
Okay.
I think it's a black void.
I hope it's nothing. I really don't want to keep doing
this
forever.
I want it to be end. Like I'm not there anymore, done.
Yeah, I don't want consciousness
but,
forever.
When I was a kid, I used to think that it was a black void, that you as a conscious,
like,
bodiless being were in.
No, God, that's terrible.
When I was little, I remember 7 or 8, I used to have nightmares on a regular basis about the blackness. I would all of a sudden be in it. Just me. And when you're in a dream, you are that thing.
Yeah.
You're only... That's what you are. You're the bodiless you.
Right.
And I was just in this black space. And it was like, so this is what happens. And I was like, oh my God. Now, I've heard other things, like on the You Made It Weird podcast, he had Dana Carvey, and Dana Carvey's thing was, where were you during the Renaissance? Like, you weren't there.
Yeah.
You weren't sad about not being there, but you weren't there. And someday you won't be there at something else. And it's fine.
I'm honestly so weary of life already. I really am.
And it's how one of those things.
How can you be weird? I'm 10 years older than you. How can you be weird?
I don't.
It's just going to get weirder.
I'm fucking grumpy. I'm cool, man. You guys go ahead. Like, that's my whole attitude. It's socially not okay for me to check out on my own, so I'll ride this out with everybody until natural causes take me. Or I get to a point where it's justifiable for me to take myself out. But regardless, I really need there to be a stop at the end of it. Like, I need to rest at the end of it. I need there to just not be... That's what I'm working towards, is just the idea that I'm just not a part of it anymore. Is...
Okay.
I love the idea of checking out and letting everybody else keep going. Like, just letting the world move on. Like,
have you thought about moving to a smaller town?
I can't,
like that Montana idea.
No, absolutely. When we were talking about that, I was like, fuck, man. Like, Montana actually does sound like this, like... It sounds like a place I could go be, like, an old-timey bank robber. Like, where I could, like... I could go in, like, in a trench coat and, like, tell everybody who I am and, you know, all that shit.
And that, like, jangly piano plays.
Yeah, everybody knows I don't hurt old women and children. You know, like, so, like, they're just so... They're cool with it. And
you shoot your guns and just flags that say bang come out of them?
Yeah, and they're like, yeah, this is fun. This is fun. Nothing really happens here.
This is fun.
It's fucking Montana.
Give them the money.
Yeah.
There's actually a lot of things in Montana, but you'd have to find a spot.
I don't know.
I think Wyoming, maybe North Dakota.
The Dakotas. Who's fucking with the Dakotas?
No one has any idea what's happening in the Dakotas.
Never met anybody from the Dakotas. I recently met somebody that I've known somebody that I found out is from Montana. And I was like, he is one of the most mild-mannered, like, just polite, generous human beings I've ever met. I'm just like, where is your people? Where is this? What kind of environment births this Jesus of a human? And, I mean, he is just the nicest guy. And he's just handsome as shit, too. Like, he's just he is the Ubermensch. If you're gonna, like, straight up give Hitler a picture, this is what this guy is.
Oh, God.
He's just beautiful, Aryan, just...
Why is it gonna be Hitler? This guy was real nice until 3 seconds ago.
Well, I'm just saying, like, that's what Hitler pictured. Just this beautiful, blonde, like, fucking, just Nordic, awesome guy.
Mm.
From Montana. And he, like, whispers when he talks. And I was like, there's no noise out there, I bet. I bet there's no noise to have to talk over in fucking Montana.
Yeah.
Like, I bet it's silent out there, so you can just casually have, like, inside voice outside, because why not? Like, what's with all the hubbub?
That's why I'm loud, because everybody in Boston is just yelling.
I'm loud because I want everybody to look at me, but... But, yeah, no, I don't know, Montana... I don't want anybody to steal my Montana idea.
Don't move to Montana. If you're from Montana and you want Wendell to move there, contact us.
I feel like there's a reason we don't talk about Montana, though. You know, like, nobody talks about, like, the world. We'll talk about Florida
I honestly think that there is a retreat that I was looked up, like a writer's thing that happens there, because I feel like just the other day I saw a website with it where it was like, this is a place you could go, so... I don't know. There's colleges there, so there have to be people.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
Actually, there's a lot more people than you think.
I'm sure, but I mean...
You just... In every state, there's big cities and small towns. You just gotta find the small town. I mean, one summer, is it during high school? No, I guess it must have been college. I have no idea. There was a shack that my friend had in New Hampshire... And one summer, she decided she was going to live there. And it's a shack. It's a shack. I don't know if the plumbing worked. I don't know if there was running water. But she lived there for the summer, and she worked at the small town diner. And we went to visit her, like, 1 week, and it was, like, wild. She was way out in the middle of the woods. Nobody ever bothered her. There wasn't anything going on. She, like, drove 3 miles to this diner, which was the only thing around. Across the street from the diner, though, was, like, a some woods that if you walked through them a little bit, all of a sudden there was a lake. So it was like really nice, but there was very little around. There was like a little further down the road, there was the like post office, you know?
Where was this?
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. Okay. I was going to say like...
It was a very small towny.
See, and I kind of like that, but I just... It's one of those things. I feel like if you get too small towny in a place like Montana, which is already like small towny in the scale of just the rest of the U.S., like... That's a place where, like, Wendigos and shit are still running around. You know, like, that's, like, where, like, that's your main concern is just not being eaten by a Sasquatch. That's, like, that's,
Well, don't worry about Sasquatch.
Well, I wouldn't worry about Sasquatch. I told you, I go find the people that I need to talk to first when I move to a new place.
And one of them is Sasquatch? I would immediately
seek out the Sasquatch. Okay. The local Sasquatch. And make sure...
Excuse me, sir, are you the Sasquatch?
He knows... where I'm at with animals. Maybe offer him a salmon. I don't know.
Is he a bear?
I assume he's omnivorous.
Sure.
And I'm sure that Montana salmon is just as good to eat as it is to say.
Montana salmon.
There's probably no salmon in Montana. It's probably a trout place.
Oh, man. I think we got to wrap this this convo up. This has gone every which way. It's nice to see you, Wendell.
It's nice to see you as well. And you know what? I guarantee you they've never once spoken about Montana on Friends. Outside of that one episode where you had to remember all 50 states.
I don't think they didn't even bring that one up because they only go through a few of them to show that they're not getting them.
Yeah. They also don't bring it up in the Bible. There's a conspiracy here.
In the Bible?
Yeah, no.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Michelle, marry me. In Montana.
I was going to say, is Michelle going to move to Montana? Yeah, we'll see.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Yes But Why podcast.